Well, good morning, Neely's Creek Sunday School once again. We're going to be looking at the plagues today. The plagues of Egypt. So not an unknown passage for sure. Certainly one we think about in association with the Passover. Certainly one we think about in association with those who almost religiously watched the Ten Commandments movie at Easter. And so there we have it. We are going to be looking at those plagues and a series of scripture that leads up to them. And we're going to be looking at two of them specifically. So let's dive right in. Page 12 in your books. If you do not have your books, it's going to be Exodus 6 for a couple verses, followed by Exodus 7 starting at verse 1. Let's pray and begin. Father God, I pray that you would be with us, and I pray that you would be with us as we read your word, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our own hearts, that our hearts would not be hardened, but that our hearts would remain close to you and in communion and fellowship with you. Because of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So, Exodus 6, verse 28. On the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I said to you, say to you. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like a god to Pharaoh. And your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell to Pharaoh to let the people go of Israel out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so, and they did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and then they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up theirs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water. Stand on the bank of the Nile and meet him. Take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent, and you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn to blood. The fish in the Nile shall die, and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile, And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, their canals, and the ponds, and all the pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, even in the vessels of wood and the vessels of stone." Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. He lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile, and all the water in the Nile turned to blood. And the fish of the Nile died, and the Nile stank, and the Egyptians could not drink from the water of the Nile. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them. Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and he did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink from the water of the Nile. 7 full days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me.' But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants." The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the Egyptians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, "Plead with the Lord and take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go sacrifice to the Lord," Moses said to Pharaoh, "Be pleased to command me. When I am pleased," let's try this again, "Be pleased to command me. When I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses to be left only in the Nile." And he said, "Tomorrow," Moses said, "be it as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile." So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart. It would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. So just a few things that I would like to point out this morning. So we have this sequence in chapter 6, and it continues to be a theme, and it has already been a theme with Moses' perceived inability to speak before Pharaoh. And I would ask you, is it perceived? Well, if you were listening in last week's section, when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh and Moses spoke before Pharaoh, what happened? Well, Moses seemingly suffered a harsh disappointment. Pharaoh did not let the people go. And in turn, the people of Israel turned themselves on Moses and Aaron, because what had happened? Their request by Moses and Aaron, we may call it a demand, to let my people go, ended in bitter and more harsh conditions for the people of Israel, for the Israelites living in Egypt. And so, things aren't going so well. And so Moses says, apparently I can't speak. So God changes the paradigm And now, in Pharaoh's eyes, however the Lord does it, or in Pharaoh's heart, in Pharaoh's mind, in all of them, Moses is like a god. And Aaron issues the oracles or the words of God for Moses. But Moses has been set up, as it were, before Pharaoh. And the paradigm begins to change rather quickly. Pharaoh's heart doesn't change. Pharaoh's heart, he continues to harden. And Pharaoh continues to harden his own heart. That being, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh hardened his own heart. We have both wordings here. So that we see the Lord is not just hardening a heart that is just innocent and free and loving. No. Pharaoh has a hard heart. But the Lord is not granting him to repent, to turn back from his hardness of heart, even in these circumstances. Why? Because the Lord's glory will be shown great and mighty in this situation. And you may ask, is that a problem? That the Lord is not granting that this one should turn and should change from his hardness of heart at this point? Well, one, I would submit to you that Pharaoh's heart's already hardened. And he is not naturally going to desire to change his heart. Even if he does, a hard heart may change or may appear to change. But what will be the reason? I submit to you. What will be the reason? It will be that that one may save his own hide, or the hide of those that are precious to him. It will not be a genuine change. So, looking at that, we have Moses' lips and Pharaoh's heart. We're dealing with a lot of people and the internals of those folks. But ultimately, overarching all of this is the Lord and His vast greatness, His glory, and His unstoppable love for His people, whom He has called, whom He has chosen, and whom He has said will go and be with them, with Him in the land that He has given them. So why the plagues, you may ask? Why does the Lord send the plagues? I found some reasons, and they are laid out in a small book called Gleanings in Exodus by Arthur Pink. He was born in England. He died the middle of the 20th century, but he has some, I think, interesting things to say about this passage that are worth thinking about. So I'm going to read them to you. He says, "The purpose of these plagues was manifold. First, they gave a public manifestation of the mighty power of the Lord God. This, the very magicians were made to acknowledge. Then the magician said to Pharaoh," he's quoting here from chapter 8, verse 19, "this is the finger of God." He gives a second reason. "They were a divine visitation of wrath, a punishment of Pharaoh and the Egyptians for the cruel treatment of the Hebrews. Third, they were a judgment from God upon the gods," who we know are actually demons from the New Testament, "of Egypt." And you can see Paul's description of what idols really are in 1 Corinthians to get that, a bit of background on that explanation. This is taught, Pink goes on and says, this is taught in Numbers 33:4, for the Egyptians buried all the firstborn which the Lord had smitten among them upon their gods. Also the Lord executed judgments. So the third reason that Pink gives is there was a judgment from God upon the false gods of Egypt. And you can see how many of these plagues represented their false gods. The Nile was like a god. It was a sacred place. It was a sacred place of provision, of commerce, of trade. For God to attack the Nile is God attacking the very artery that feeds the heart of Egypt. For God to bring frogs into the home. The frogs were a sacred animal. They weren't allowed to be killed. But to have them in your kneading bowl was quite an overstatement of their care for them. And Egypt's own magicians, quote-unquote, made the situation worse. So, Pink gives a fourth reason. They demonstrated that the Lord was high above all of these gods. Fifth, they furnished a complete testing of human responsibility. And I think we talked about that a little bit with the hardening of heart. Sixth, they were a solemn warning to other nations that God would curse those who cursed the Israelites. He's quoting that from Genesis 12, verse 3. And lastly, he says, these miraculous plagues were evidently designed as a series of testings for Israel. This is taught in Deuteronomy 4:33, where Moses asked Israel, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of other nations by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by outstretched arms, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? The outcome, Pink goes on, of these testings was expressed in the following words from Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? So the Lord is probing the faith of Israel even by performing these plagues against Egypt. Israel, do you love me? Do you trust me? Do you follow me? Is your faith rested upon me? Do you see what I am doing on your behalf, O Israel? I think that's what Pink is getting at. The last thing I want to talk about in this that's very interesting is simply the scene with the staffs. We've talked about the plagues. We've dealt with some of the material there. We have this famous scene where God tells Moses and Aaron to go in and to throw down the staff. And what was going to happen? That staff was going to turn into a serpent. Well, what do we see? We see Pharaoh calls in his guys and says, you think you guys are so swell, is what Pharaoh says. Then watch this. And the magicians, the sorcerers, there was so many things that even modern day occult practices and more modern ideas of magic really came out of what was going on in Egypt in this time. There was a high place for the magical, the dark arts, occult worship kind of items that were going on. So there's debate here. When the magicians of Pharaoh were able to throw down their staffs, and a snake also appeared, is this magic? Is this some sort of dark magic? Was this maybe just a trick? Because there are some snake charmers who have been noted at this time to make their snakes sit perfectly rigid for a time. And then when they threw them down, they uncoiled. I don't know. The Lord knows. And the point is, Pharaoh, in confidence, sends out the picture of his authority as Pharaoh, as seen on his own crown. There are two snakes overlooking him, overlooking his authority, overlooking his position. Those two snakes, if you can picture this, it's like those two snakes left his crown. And they were thrown down to do battle against the one snake that belonged to God Almighty, whom he did, not by trickery, cause to come forth from a staff. And what happens when the snake of the one and only God comes up of the snakes who represent the rule and the power of Egypt? They are consumed. They are consumed. The Lord our God, He is a consuming fire. He is the one and only God. That is our God. And when He claims a people to be His people, they will be His people. And He will deliver them. And He will bring them into a land that is His to dwell with Him and to worship Him. I think that has a bit of application for you and for I as well. Until we see each other soon, or until you hear another one of these recorded Sunday schools, pray that you have a blessed week.